Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
Our teaching this morning is captioned "Understanding How Praise Facilitates Fulfillment of Prophecy." And I welcome you. Thank you, choir, for singing in Spanish in the first praise and worship. Praise the Lord. And I want to welcome our Spanish brethren again. Bienvenido a Diapacto de Venganza. He servicio especial de unción. Dios los bendiga. Jesús te ama. Muchas gracias. Hallelujah. You are welcome in Jesus' name. What are prophecies? Prophecies are the fulfillment of divine agenda. We must understand that no human hand can fulfill a divine agenda. So prophecies are the fulfillment of divine agenda. That means it will take the hand of God for prophecies to be fulfilled, because it is a divine agenda. That is why it is a risk to trust in man. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 to 8, the Bible says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For it shall be like the earth in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For it shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when it cometh, but the leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." That will be your testimony. So prophecies are the fulfillment of divine agenda. And this year, God said you will break limit. I say it again, as a son of the prophet, you will break limits in the name of Jesus. Before this month is over, whatever God said concerning you and I will come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, prophecies are the fulfillment of the word of God in our lives. That's number two. Prophecies are the fulfillment of the word of God in our lives. That's why the Bible is the most sure word of prophecies. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 17, also in verse 24, Solomon reiterated what God did through his father, David. He said, "It was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord, God of Israel." And in verse 24, the last part of it said, "And has fulfilled it with his hand as it is this day." The hand of the Lord fulfilled what was put in the heart of David, his father. So only the hand of God can fulfill his word in our lives. And I see the hand of God in this month of November fulfill God's agenda, God's divine agenda in your life and in my life, in the name of Jesus. Remember, David said in Psalm 127, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wicked, but in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early and to sit late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." I see the hand of God performing his counsel in your life. But it is important to note that God speaks according to his authority. So there is no need to be afraid whether what God said is going to come to pass or not. There is no need to be afraid whether the policy of the land favors it or not. There is no need to be concerned whether the climate or the geography is in support of what God has said. Why? Because God speaks according to his authority. He doesn't need no support. He doesn't need anyone to support him. He is more than enough all by himself. That is why I know no devil is too strong to stop you from accomplishing God's purpose in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God speaks according to his authority. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 to 35, Jesus said to Peter, he said, "You're going to deny me. Before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me." He said, no, that one cannot happen. He forgot that he's speaking with the master. And other disciples also said, no, we're not going to deny you. We are standing firm by you. Peter even tried his best. He wanted to help himself by his own ability. But he didn't know that the word of the Lord requires God's authority to be fulfilled. But eventually we saw the same Peter radiating the power of God. When the power of God came upon him afresh, when the hand of God came upon him at the Pentecost. So it takes the hand of God. And I pray in the name of Jesus, the hand of God is coming upon someone specially this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. Because God speaks according to his authority. Now, how then is prophecy fulfilled? If it takes the hand of God, if God speaks according to his authority, if prophecy must be fulfilled, how then do we get prophecies fulfilled? We have emphasized it. It's just one foundation. Receive the prophecy. And what we mean by receiving the prophecy is believe it, receive it, walk with it. Believe it, receive it, run with it. The proof that you receive the prophecy is that you put your faith in it by taking action. God's servant, the presiding bishop, my father in the Lord said, faith is not just believing God as it were. Faith is obeying God to prove that you believe him, so as to commit God's integrity to perform. So the proof that you believe is obedience. If you truly believe the prophecies, you will obey. You will obey by taking appropriate actions. Now, what are the benefits of receiving the prophetic word? Every prophetic word received provokes bold declarations. If you receive the word, you'll be able to declare it. You don't get to work and say the negative. You don't get to work and join your colleagues. Oh, this country, we don't know how this country is going right now. We don't even know what is going on right now, whether the president is going to hand over or he's not going to hand over, or we don't even know. Things are so bad. Things are, and you begin to go. Instead of saying, no, we know that God is on the throne. I know that God is on the throne. I know God is for us. And if God be for us, shout hallelujah. So when you know what God has said concerning you, you declare it with boldness. That's a proof that you receive it. If you, whatever you cannot declare in the open cannot be confirmed. So don't declare it just in this, in your secret, in your room or in the corner of your room. Declare it openly. That's a proof that you receive it. And when you declare it openly, God is bound to confirm his word. God will confirm your word in your life. In the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. So if you believe and you receive the prophecy, every time you declare it, this is my year of breaking limits. Somebody might say, what do you really mean? Yes, I'm breaking limits. I'm changing levels. I'm changing status. I'm going higher. Things are working for me. Even when you do not look like it, and God will confirm it for you. I remember sometimes in 1999, when Faith Tabernacle was to be dedicated, that was our 50-seater capacity auditorium. It looks like the project is not going to be completed. And God's servant traveled and was meditating. And God showed him that he completed the whole world in 7 days. And said, we just have 2 months. Now, if he completed the whole world in 7 days, what is the fraction of Faith Tabernacle compared to the whole world? It's going to be like milliseconds of completion. We cannot even say 1 day. I mean, it's too small for 1 day. We cannot even say 24. We can't even say 1 hour. We can't even say 1 second. It's going to be milli. I don't know if the fraction that is lower, you know, milli, 0.00000 raised to power 1,000,000 seconds. That's what it's going to cost God. So he bust out with that revelation, 2 months, too much. 2 months, too much. 2 months, too much. 2 months, too much. Shout hallelujah. And that tabernacle was completed. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. That is why I know 29th of November is a reality. In the name of Jesus Christ. In spite of the restriction, this church will double its attendance of 2019. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And you and I, whatever God said concerning us, will come to pass speedily. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will change level. You will ride that brand new car. You will buy that your house. You will get that new job. You will still get that promotion. You will walk in healing, health, and wholeness. Your marriage will still be consummated this year. It will interest you to know we see had another marriage in this sanctuary yesterday. Shout hallelujah. So it's not too late. Tell your neighbor it's not late. God is on the throne. God is making it happening in the name of Jesus Christ. So bold declaration. Number two is daring response. Every prophetic word received makes one to be daring in response. In your approach, you confront the situation, you dare the situation. There is no spirit of fear at all. For every prophetic word received makes one to be daring in response. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So regardless of what the situation is in and around you, you are able to dare, your response is daring in his approach. I love the story of Joshua. You know, Joshua took over from Moses. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 6, look at what God said to him. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. That was the word of God. That was prophetic. God spake to him. Moses' minister saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man, I love that, pay attention to that, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. If God speaks like that to you, how do you think you're going to approach situation? You're going to be bold. You're going to dare any situation. Shout hallelujah. I love that. I love God to talk to me like that. Look at it again. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. That's eternal blessing. Shout hallelujah. And look at that, because Joshua received that prophetic word. Look at what happened. Something happened in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, because of what God said to him, he was daring. He never even knew it was the angel, the host of the army of heaven that appeared to him. I believe it was Jesus in prophecy. But he was daring. Are you for us or you are against us? I'm working with prophecy here. The one who told me said, no one is able to stand before me. The man said, relax, boy. I am the army of the host of the Lord. Sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Shout hallelujah. That's how all your enemies will be confronted. And all your enemies will not be able to stand before you. He received that word. He was very bold. He was very daring. Now, this morning, having learned what prophecy is and what prophecy can make out of us, let's see how praise can facilitate the fulfillment of prophecy. That's where we are going this morning. We know for sure prophecy will be fulfilled. Prophecy will give us boldness. It will be able to dare the situation. But we have to take responsibility to make the prophecy fulfilled. And now that's our teaching, understanding how praise facilitates fulfillment of prophecies. And now we're going to take a case study this morning. And that's the case study of Hannah. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 13 to 20, Hannah received the prophetic word from Eli, which stirred joy and rejoicing in her life, and in turn provoked God to fulfill the prophetic word in her life. Go with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. I read from verse 13 quickly to verse 20. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman. evil spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaints and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more said. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Anna his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Anna had conceived, that she bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Now look at the word of the Lord here. In this scenario, Hannah embraced the spirit of joy, which led to praise, and that was when the prophecy was fulfilled. Now, while studying this, the Holy Spirit pointed my attention to three things that have been hindering Hannah's blessings before then. And the three things manifested right before the prophet. Now, in verse 15, Anna answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. That was the reason why Hannah had been barren. Sorrowful spirit. There was this prophetic word that she's going to be fruitful. But as long as she was in that sorrowful spirit, there's no way the prophecy can be fulfilled. A woman of sorrowful spirit. So the devil is always trying to push you away from joyful mood so as to keep you stagnated. But he has lost the battle today. Every foul spirit of sorrow is hereby destroyed in this service. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Secondly, in verse 16, she said, can't not your handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken hitherto. Complaint and grief. So as long as you keep complaining, you can't see what God has done, you keep talking about the negatives, you can't get the prophecies fulfilled. Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief. So watch out for sorrowful spirit, watch out for complaining, watch out for grief. Now, these things will keep one away from the prophecies being fulfilled. But look at how her testimony came. Verse 18, and she said, let your handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat. Now, and her countenance was no more sad. So that sorrowful spirit was gone. She was no longer complaining. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord. So her spirit was lifted. Her spirit was loosed. She started worshipping God. She started eating. She started seeing what God has done instead of what God has not done and what happened. And in the morning, Eli worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Anna his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Anna conceived, she bore a son and called his name Samuel. Why? The three things hindering her prophecies were eliminated. The spirit of joy came. She started worshiping God. Then the prophecy was fulfilled. This morning I decree in the name of Jesus, every spirit of heaviness is taken away from you. In the name of Jesus. Every sorrowful heart by this oil of joy will be terminated. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree every foul spirit of complaint will be cleared of this morning. God's servant said, what you know, what happened is what you know. What would have happened? You didn't know. So keep giving God thanks. He said, what happened is what you know. It would have been worse than that. Keep giving God. Don't ever see what God has not done. Keep on seeing what God has done. If Satan shows you what God has not done, show him what God has done. Shout hallelujah. By all means, keep your joy intact. Worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. And prophecy shall be fulfilled. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a big, big hand of praise. Hallelujah.
So when it's time for us to praise and worship God this morning, praise God with this understanding. Cast your burdens on Jesus, for he cares for you. Praise God, worship God, rejoice in the Lord, celebrate in the Lord, and you will see how the prophecy will be fulfilled. Before somebody leaves this service this morning, your phone will ring. Text message of good news will drop on your phone in the name of Jesus. They will call you from far country and give you that long-awaited good news in the name of Jesus Christ. And on this covenant day of vengeance, I want to welcome you specially because God is in a hurry to avenge for you. We must understand that until the God of vengeance shows up, the wicked may never give up. And the Bible says in Isaiah 63:4, the day of vengeance is in my heart and the year of my redeemed is come. Vengeance is a vital aspect of God's end time agenda. I'll show us two scriptures quickly. In Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 20, Jesus went into the temple and they gave him like a lay reader. Some of us that came from Anglican background, there are people called the lay reader. You are not a pastor, but you are a lay reader. All you do is just to assist the pastor and come to read. I believe he was manifesting the office of a lay reader then. So they gave him the scripture to come and read. And he opened Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 20. And he was reading. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," verse 18, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty they that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. He was actually reading the book of Isaiah chapter 61. He closed the book when he mentioned to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But the next thing after that was to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. But before the day of vengeance, he closed the book because he was reserving that to the time he would have gone so that the vengeance will be full. Because when he was there, he's the one that is going to be doing everything. But when he's gone, then the forces of heaven, God himself, Jesus himself, and the Holy Spirit will take full control. Praise the Lord. So there was practically nothing to avenge at that time because he was with them. He can silence all the enemy. He was actually doing it on their behalf. Remember the fig tree, when he spoke to the fig tree and he was there and the disciples said, "The fig tree you spoke against yesterday dry." He said, "Believe in God, trust in God, put your faith in God." Praise the Lord. So, but he closed that chapter because he knew at the end time, vengeance would be necessary. And this is the time of vengeance. And I decree in the name of Jesus in this service, vengeance will answer. In the name of Jesus. In that book of Isaiah 61 verse 3, he said to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. These are all the things that happen that will happen after vengeance. Therefore I decree, as God avenge you of your enemies today, I decree he will give you comfort. In the name of Jesus, he will give you beauty for ashes. We give you the oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You will be called the trees of righteousness. You will be the planting of the Lord. Every happening in your life will give glory to God. But why must we invoke vengeance? Six quick reasons. Number one, we serve a God of vengeance. God told Abraham in Genesis 12:3. "I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that cursed thee." So God curses. Praise the Lord. Because he's a God of vengeance. Amen. And don't be too righteous. Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. He says, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." So don't be over righteous that, "Oh, I don't want to curse. I don't want to pray against my enemy." He said it is righteous to pray against your enemy. Someone wants to kill you. You have to pray that vengeance will happen. We answer. Praise the Lord. And I decree in the name of Jesus for everyone going after your life, if they will not repent, I decree the vengeance of God upon them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number two, why must we invoke vengeance? Jesus taught us to pray vengeance prayer. Remember in the story in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8, this woman did wrong and she was just disturbing the judge. And the judge said, "Okay, I give it to you." And he said, if an unrighteous judge will do like that, how much more God, the righteous God? He said, he will avenge us quickly. Verse 7 of Luke chapter 18. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. God will avenge you speedily. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Why must we invoke vengeance? Number 3, the Holy Ghost is the spirit of vengeance. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of vengeance. We saw the case of Elimas the sorcerer that was trying to stop Apostle Paul from discharging his mission. And Apostle Paul, being filled with the Holy Ghost, released God's judgment upon him in Acts chapter 13, verse 8 to 11. So the Holy Ghost is the spirit of vengeance. Now, why must we invoke vengeance? It is our redemptive right. It is your redemptive right to execute vengeance upon the wicked. The vengeance is already written, but it is your right to execute it. That's why you have to take action. And that's what we're going to be doing by the weapon of the anointing and the weapon of praise. Precisely in Psalm 149 we read this morning, verse 6 to 9. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. So as you are praising God this morning, you'll be empowered with two-edged swords spiritually. So that everything you declare concerning your enemy will be confirmed. In the name of Jesus. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. So there is judgment against the enemy already. So as you are praising God this morning, you have been empowered to execute that judgment in the name of Jesus Christ. Why must we invoke vengeance? Number 5, because we must give no room to the devil. We must give no place to the devil. Don't want the devil to come and occupy your house. Don't want the devil to come and be the landlord in your house. Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. God servant said, whatever you don't want, don't watch it. Whatever you don't resist is permitted to remain. Whatever you don't confront, you can't conquer. That's why you are executing the vengeance of God this morning. And the God of vengeance will answer for you. Number 6, why must we invoke vengeance? It is a major way to end the wickedness of the wicked. That's the major way to end the wickedness of the wicked. Execution of vengeance is one major way to putting an end to the wickedness of the wicked. In Psalm 7 verse 9 to 13, the Bible says, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Today, every wickedness of the wicked over your life, over your children, over your career, over your business, over your marriage, over your health, over your finances is coming to an end. In the name of Jesus. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11. It said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. But today an end has come to such evil. Remember, until God unleashed his vengeance upon Egypt, Pharaoh never gave up. He was just postponing their release. Little thing, he will change it again. But when the vengeance came and all the firstborn dead, he released them speedily. Therefore, in the name of Jesus this morning, whatever will not let you go, will go down for you. Anyone that dig a pit for you will fall into the same pit. Anyone that hung a gallows for that put a gallows for you will be hung on the same gallows. In the name of Jesus Christ, so shall it be. God will fight your battle this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So we must invoke vengeance on all our assailants today, and God will honor it. In the name of Jesus Christ. And by this anointing this morning, this oil will become in your hand the oil of vengeance. In the mighty name of Jesus. So after you leave service this morning, anoint your car, anoint your house, anoint your business, anoint everything anointable. And the God of vengeance will answer for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I love the story of David in Psalm 89, verse 20 to 24. The Bible says, I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My hand also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exert upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him.
But my faithfulness and mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his own be exalted. Rise with me this morning, lift up your bottle of oil. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, this oil in your hand becomes holy anointing oil. In the name of Jesus, I decree the power of God entered into this oil. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree in the name of Jesus, the glory of God enter into this oil. In the mighty name of Jesus, I decree the presence of God enter into this oil. In the name of Jesus, I decree this oil becomes a oil of vengeance. As this oil comes upon your head today, I decree in the name of Jesus, God will begin to beat down your enemies. I decree by this oil, anyone that will not let you go will go down for you. Anyone that dig a pit for you will be buried in the same pit. Anyone that raise a gallows for you will be hung on the same gallows. Anyone that break your head, the serpent will bite. In the mighty name of Jesus, by this anointing this morning, God will put all your enemy to silence. By this anointing this morning, every yoke is broken. By this anointing this morning, the liberation unction begins to work in your life. Receive your freedom. Receive your liberty. Receive your breakthrough. Receive your victory. Receive your miracle children. Receive your miracle marriage. Receive your miracle job. In the name of Jesus Christ, every manipulation of the enemy, every altar raised against your destiny, every witchcraftry, every sorcery, every form of necromancer against your life, every demonic attack comes to an end in the name of Jesus. I decree this oil becomes a oil of fire. I decree this oil become a oil of fire. Vengeance right now. Arise, O God. Let all enemies be scattered. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. Now place the oil on your head this morning and begin to declare your victory. Begin to declare your victory. Begin to declare your victory. Lepro kakoto zuse preketoria. Limprakatos embreketoria. Rikakoto zuzo talia gabosh. Elim prakoto zuzo tolia gabosu zotolia. E kempro katozi. Elim prakatozia. Limbro pakuya. Ezum prakatozi. Empreketos. Alim prokatos. E kretodi gaboshi. Elim preketos zuzotolia. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, we are prayed. Now put a little of that oil on the lid. You are going to take a shot of it. And as you take a shot of it, is a liquid fire. Whatsoever that is not of God in you shall be judged right now. Right now, I decree concerning your healing, health, and wholeness. As you take this anointing oil, the liquid fire destroy that cancer. Destroy that fibroid. Destroy that ovarian cyst. Destroy that lump. Destroy that diabetes. Destroy that hypertension. Destroy that headache. Destroy that migraine. Destroy that coronavirus. In the name of Jesus, now receive your instant healing. Take a shot of it and declare your victory. Thank you, Jesus. Leprokatosia. Pray in the Holy Ghost in a moment. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Remprokatalia. Ezumpreketo ligabosh. Endropakuraga.